Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Metzia Kuf Gimel. We are holding four lines off the top of the Amud. Amar Rav Nachman. We have a halacha like this. Hayman de'egar lei beis alechavrei. Le'eser shnin. A fellow leases his home to somebody else for 10 years. It's a 10-year lease. V'kosev lishtar. And he issued a document indicating as such. So in this shtar we have stated that Shimon leased Reuven's home for 10 years, but the thing is, there is no date on the shtar. It doesn't say when the rental begins, when it ends. It's just a 10-year lease. Okay, a couple of years down the line, V'amarli, Reuven approaches Shimon and he claims, look, you've been there 5 years. You know that, right? Nikitas Chamesh Shnin. And Shimon responds, what happened to you? You forgot how to count? I mean, it's only been 3 years. Mehmet, Reuven is believed. Then, in fact, Shimon was there for 5 years, despite the fact that Shimon is in possession of a shtar, that he has a right to be there for 10 years. Reuven is believed that 5 years have already passed. Amali Rav Acham Ediftel Ravina. I don't understand. I mean, Shimon has a shtar, and why doesn't Reuven have to prove his claim, right? Elamiyata. So, if that's the case, imagine, if Reuven lends $100 to Shimon and issues him a loan document, okay? Basically, the shtar is now in Reuven's possession, right? The lender holds the shtar. Varmale, now Shimon claims to Reuven, I paid you $50, praticha palga, without any proof. Is he believed? Hachanami, did Mehmet according to you, he'll be believed in this case as well? One can claim against a shtar? Amar Leis, he says, no, you can't compare the two things. Hachiyash, how do you compare the two things? Awesome. Over there by the loan, the shtar, the loan document, what's the purpose? What's the objective of issuing a loan document? Lugavayna koi, it's meant to be used for collection purposes, right? That's the purpose of the lender, getting that shtar. So if in fact it's true that Shimon, you know, paid him or repaid him at least, you know, part of it, he should have given him proof. He should have, written a comment on the side of the shtar. It's been partially paid up, right? You have to mitigate the effect of the shtar. You have to counter the shtar, which is proving otherwise. Inami, or another option would have been Michtav Aleish Tavra. He would have written a Tavra, something which breaks. Tavra is a breakage, meaning a Shaivar, a receipt. Right? Reuven should have issued a receipt, a partial receipt to Shimon for that partial payment. The fact that Shimon has no proof of partial payment indicates that, in fact, the wording of the shtar is accurate, is correct, and you can't challenge it. Aval Hocha, but in our case, where he leased him the property for 10 years. Amarle, Reuven, the landlord, can claim to Shimon, you know why I gave you the shtar? For one purpose only. I don't want you claiming ownership on my property, right? The halacha is, we're going to see Bezer Hashem in a couple of weeks in Bava Basra, right? Cheska Sabatim. If one has already resided several years in a home, in a property, right? It's called Cheskas Gimel Shanim. 3 years down the road, he can claim ownership, even without proving it, even without a deed. I didn't want you to do that. I wanted to avoid that situation. So I issued a document, and Tosis explains, even though he gave it to the Shimon, what kind of proof is that? If he gives it to the occupier, the answer is because there's a koil, right? It becomes publicized. They make this koil. Look, oh yeah, Reuven leased his property to Shimon. Now everybody understands Shimon is just a tenant. And we avoid any, you know, potential future or claims of ownership, you know, down the road. That's the purpose of the shtar. It wasn't meant to be used for collection or anything like that, right? So here, I didn't bother, you know, issuing, getting a receipt or whatever, right? 5 years are up. 5 years are up. Okay, so now he's trusted. And the question is, why is he trusted over Shimon, who claims it's only been 3 years? And Rashi gives us the answer. Remember, it's Rav Nachman speaking. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. And if you recall, yesterday Rav Nachman tells us, Karka b'cheskas ba'alei imedes. property is always in the hands, is always in the possession of its owner. There's any suffix pertaining to property, like in this case, has it been 5 years? Has it been 3 years? Who wins? The property owner. Amar Rav Nachman. Here comes another halach regarding a loan. Shoyl Adam Betuvay Loilam. Shimon approaches Reuven. Could you loan me your car? Betuvay, as long as it's functional. Loilam. Yeah, now he has a right to use it whenever he wants. Right, if Reuven agreed, he can just take it and take it again. It's a recurring type of arrangement. Ara Amar Rav Mori, brother Rav Shmuel, provided, who the kani minei, provided he made a kinyan. Right, that he'll give him this access to his car, to his item, as long as the item is still functioning. Because otherwise, says Rashi, as soon as the fellow returns the item after using it the first time, it's over. That permission, that authorization expires. So unless he makes a kinyan, right, he doesn't have this continuous right. But if he makes a kinyan, he can just borrow it and borrow it. He has a right to access the item whenever he needs it. Amar Mari, brother, braid the Rav Ashi, mahadli kate. But he has to give him back the axe handle or the shovel handle, whatever tool he borrowed, meaning he can only use it as long as it's functional. Once it's been worn out and broken, it's no longer called bituva. It's no longer a functioning entity. He has to return the whatever the handle that he has to the owner. Amar Rav, Haiman, Amar Lechavri. If Shimon approaches Reuven, Aishlan Mora, please, could you lend me a shovel? Limir Pak Bei HaPardisa. I need it to plow through my, to dig through my, my orchard. Okay, Rafik Bei HaPardisa. He has the right to use the shovel for that orchard only, because that's what he asked for. Let's say he says, Pardisa, I want to use it for Pardisa, for an orchard. He doesn't specify which one. So in this case, Rafik Bei called Pardisa the boy. He can choose any one of his orchards, even the biggest one, use it there. What if he says Pardesi, Lashon Rabim, my orchards? Then he can use it for his entire estate. Rafik Va'azal Kol Pardesi the Islay, he can use it throughout his whole estate until he finishes digging through his all his properties. Once again, if he's left just with the handle after this whole job, he has to return that to the owner. Amra Papa, Haimando Amr Lechavre. Shimon approaches Reuven, Aishlan Haigar Gusa. Could you give me access to your well over here, this well? Vinafla, and the walls of the well collapse, right? Loi bonilo. Shimon can't just rebuild the walls and re-access the well because he asked for this well. His well is gone. So his permission expires. What if he says, Garbus, I want to use a well. Vinafla, and in this case, if it collapsed, bonilo. Shimon has the right to rebuild it and re-access that well because it wasn't a specific well that he asked for. He asked for access to a well. Okay, this is still Reuven's wall. What if he says, Begar Gusa? He says, Mr. Reuven, could you allow me to access your property, to dig until I find a well? Right? And Reuven says, sure, no problem, be my guest. Okay, so Kari Basel, so Shimon has access to Reuven's property and can dig and dig away until he finds a functioning well. Kari Basel can dig and dig. Kamar Gargusi Ba'areim. As many spots, as many wells, as many attempts at uncovering a well in Reuven's property, Adam is shrambling until he actually finds a properly working system. Once again, this only works if he made a kinyan. So Reuven committed himself with a kinyan, because otherwise it's just words, right? And words are not binding, says Rashi. You can just go back on his words. Hamaske bayis l'chaver, says the Mishnah. Reuven rented a bayis to Shimon. By the way, the word bayis all throughout Mishnayos and Gemara can either be referring to a house or even a room. Okay? The bottom line is, he rented this bayis. V'nafal, and the place collapsed. Chayiv l'hamid lo bayis. So Reuven, the landlord, has to rebuild the house and hand it back to Shimon. Hayah katan, but he has to build it in the same dimensions as the previous one. If the earlier one was a small, cozy house, lo yasenu gadol, he can't just make it this big mansion. He doesn't want a big mansion. Gadol, if it was large in size, lo yasenu katan, he can't build a smaller one this time. Echad, if it was one, lo yasenu shnayim, he can't split it into two. Shnayim, lo yasenu echad, if it was two, he can't split it into one. Likewise, lo yivchayis menachat loynes, he can't deduct from the window count, but lo yasev alem, nor can he add Elamidash name, unless they both agree to that. Hechidami, now the mission says if the bias collapses, he has to rebuild it. What exactly happened? What were the terms of their agreement? Ida amrali bias ze, If Reuven promised him this house, well, it's gone. Nafal, if it collapsed, Ozalei, it's gone. He doesn't have to rebuild it. He has to refund his rent, but he doesn't have to rebuild the house. Okay, let's say he just promised him a house. I'm renting you a house. So that explains why he has to provide a house, rebuild and provide it for him. But why does he have to conform to the earlier dimensions? Echad, Amayla Yasenu Shnaim, if it was one room, why can't he turn into two? He didn't promise a certain specific dimension, just said any house. Katan, Amayla Yasenu Gadol, likewise, if it was small, why can't he make it big? Amr Ishlakish, Amalei Bayis, was speaking that he told him, Bayis, Ani Maskel Chadi, home that I'm leasing to you, Midas, Urke, Kach, Vakach, this is the dimension, this is the size, you can't change it. If that's the case, then why even discuss it? It's such a simple halacha. Now we have a new version of this teretz. The Amar Lei, now he told him, Bayis, Kaze, a bayis just like this one, I will be leasing to you, Ani Maskel Lacha. Okay, so again, I can't think of my memory, why is this any better? I mean, it's a simple, straightforward halacha, why even discuss it? Says the Malitzricha must be speaking the Koya Guda Denahara, that the house that he was pointing to was sitting on the riverbank, a lakefront property. Somehow the Tema, perhaps I can think, Maikoze, when he said, I'm going to give you something like this, he meant location-wise, right? The Koya Guda Denahara, I'm going to give you a vacation home at the riverbank, on the lakefront, right? But dimension, okay, whatever will be. Kamashma, on the point is no. You have to provide something as specific as the one that he showed him. Hadron Lachashayim, says the Mishnah, Mekabel Sada Mechaveri. Now the word Mekabel, referring to some sort of sharecropping arrangement, can either be pertaining to an Oris, a fellow who works on percentage. I'm going to cultivate your farm, I'm going to give you, 33%, a third, or a half, or whatever. Then there's something called a Choycher, also a sharecropper arrangement, but this time it's a fixed amount that he gives him, 100 bushels a year, whether or not the field produces that much. It's like sort of a rental. This Mishnah pertains to both types of arrangements. A person is makabel, accepts upon himself to cultivate, to develop the other fellow's farm. So how does he proceed? What the answer is, it's about minag hamokim. You have to follow the way of the land. Derech eretz. Mokim shenagu liktzor. So apparently there are two ways of harvesting grain. You can either cut it outright with a sickle or a combine, or you can uproot it off the ground, in which case there's no tevin, there's no straw left in the ground. Two systems, and you have to follow whatever the common practice is, right? Malkim shenagula liktzer, if in this place they would be kaitzer, they cut, liktzer, you got to do that. Laker, if they uproot, yaker, you can do that too. Lachrish achrav, if in this place they have a minig to go ahead and plow and overturn the earth after they harvested to avoid any weeding, whatever, yachrish, he has to do that as well. Hakoil, everything follows kiminig hamadina, the way of the land. Kashem shechalkim betfor, just as the owner with the sharecropper will split the actual grain, kachkol chalkim b'tevin u'bakash. Likewise, they'll split the straw and the hay. So tevin, some learn, means the stubs left in the ground. Bakash are the stalks that come along with the grain. Some learn it's the other way around. Bottom line is they both split both materials. Kshem shecholkim b'yayin, and in the case of a vineyard sharecropper, just as they split the actual final product of wine, I'll split the twigs that are pruned off the trees. Ubekanim, likewise, they'll split the poles used to support the vines. And the reason is because Ushneim Mesapkin Esakanim, they both provide those sticks. So it's upon both of them to provide it, and therefore, for fairness sake, they will split it at the end of the season. Tanu learned in a brisa. Malkim Shenago Liktzer. If in this place the common way to harvest is through direct cutting, Einai Rashi Laker, you can't uproot. Laker, if the way to do it is by uprooting it out of the ground, Einai Rashi Liktzer, they can't cut it directly. Ushneim Ma'akvin Zezed, they can both prevent each other from switching methods. And the Gemara explains, why would one method be preferred over the other? So if the way is Liktzer, Einai Rashi Laker, you can't just pull it out of the ground, can't uproot it. Why? Well, hi Omar. The reason is because, let's say the landlord, the farmer, the owner can say, look, I'm not interested. I want the stubs to stay in the ground to provide the fertilization for next year's, for next season. Hi Omar, but I would like the titfan. Titfan is lashon of tevin. I want the tevin to stay in the ground. The titfan li'aroi, which benefits the ground. Vay Omar. Now, on the other hand, if the owner is insisting on uprooting and the farmer and the sharecropper is not interested, he can say, look, hi Omar, let me see the luck. I'm not interested in working that extra, putting that extra effort, I can't. I want to just cut it, which is easier. Likewise, if the accepted practice is lakar, to uproot a nirash elixir, you can't just cut. For the same similar reasons. Hay Omar, because the owner would say, look, Hay Omar, but you know, the tinokir aroi, I'd like to do the akira, I want to uproot it so that my land is nice, crisp, and clean. Vay Omar, and likewise, the sharecropper can tell the owner, I don't want to just cut, I want to pull out these stubs, but in a tivna, I would like to take a part of the tevin as well. Ushnei ma'akven zez alzeh, and the b'raisa, right, concluded the words, Shnei and both, the farmer or the owner, can prevent each other from, shifting methods. Lomali, what's the point of saying this? I mean, you've just explained to me that you can't do this. So why does the Brisa have to go reconclude the same point? Well, says the Gemara, it's just giving a reason. Matam kamar, just providing a reason. Matam liktzer. Eina rasha la'akar. Why, in fact, if the derech has to be kaitzer, can't you insist on doing akira? Or, in the reverse, la'akar eina rasha liktzer. The reason is mishum, the shneim ma'akven zeze, because they have a legitimate claim against switching, as we just explained. Lachrish achrab yachrish. Back to the Mishnah. If the derech has to do harisha, to uproot, to overturn the soil after removing the crop, then that's the way you do it. Pshita, well, obviously, I mean, if that's what's accepted, so then you committed to that too? What's the point of mentioning this in the Mishnah? Well, Tzricha must be speaking ba'asrat l'menachsh. In this place, they don't necessarily do a weeding job as the grain is growing. Va'azal iyuvenachish. And this fellow, this sharecropper, did that extra, step. He weeded while the wheat was growing. So maybe he can say, look, I've done it already. I don't want to repeat the same process. Maldatema, perhaps he can say, Amalei haidin akishna. When I did Nikush, way back, Adata, my mindset was, I'm not going to go and plow and overturn the soil after harvesting. Kamash, one of the point is no. Apparently there's some weeds growing now as well. But you can say, look, I did it mainly then. I don't want to redo it. No. If you want to switch the method, you have to sit down with the owner and discuss it. You can't just assume things. That's why he's compelled to do it. Hakoyla Kaminika Medina, we follow the accepted practice. Hakoyla Suyamai. What's this extra phrase in the Mishnah coming to cover? La Suya Tan Rabban is coming to clue the following. In a place where it was acceptable to include the trees into the sharecropping arrangement, despite the fact there isn't much effort that's required to maintain trees, right? But the minhag was to provide the aris with a part of that as well, so he gets a share, a percentage of the fruit growing off the trees in that farm, in that area. So if the derech is to include into the arrangement, maskirin, fine, so it's included. Malkam sheh loinagu lahaskirin, a place where they did not typically include the trees, ein maskirin, so it's not included. Asks the Gemara, again, malkam sheh nagu lahaskirin maskirin, if the derech was to include it, so it's meant to be included, pshita, well, obviously, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Like, tzricha must be speaking like this. The kuli alma yavi betilsa. The typical percentage given to the owner of this farm is a third. Vazal iu v'yavi b'riva, and this owner agreed to only accept a quarter, so he dropped his commission and he let the sharecropper hold more than typical. So perhaps he can claim this is instead maudatema. Perhaps he can tell him, hide the batshulach. You know why? I'm taking less than my next door neighbor. I'm giving you more. That's because I don't want you taking the oranges off my trees. Once again, don't make assumptions. You should have explained it. Otherwise, we stick to the minhag Medina and the fellow gets a share of the oranges as well. In the reverse as well. If the derech was not to provide the sharecropper with a portion of the fruits coming off those trees, so they're not meant to be included. Pshita, well, obviously, if that's what it is. But Tzricha must be speaking that the things are the other way around now. The kuli alma makabel b'riva, typically, a sharecropper commits himself to the job and provides the owner with, let's say, 25% of the crop. V'azal iu v'kibel b'tilsa. And our sharecropper decided to be extra generous and let the owner keep a third. So more than he's supposed to. Maldatema, so perhaps we can say, Amar Lei, the sharecropper will tell the owner, you know why I'm giving you more? Hi, the reason why I added to your commission, Adata diavasli beilonis, I was thinking that you're going to give me part of the tree crop as well. Kamashman, the point is no. Once again, don't assume things without discussion. The boyle the frushel. The mission says, Kashem shecholkim betfuah, kacholkim bethevin bakash. Amar Rabbi Yosef. The derech is not, the owner would not provide the oris, the sharecropper, with any hay. Okay, so that's the minute. The man of Kimin, what's the point of discussing this? I mean, if that's the minute, fine. So the point is like this, that we have to know that in fact, you know, this is the way of the land, the ika inish the yoiv. If in fact you notice that, yeah, you know, in this farm over here, the fellow is allowing him to take some of the straw. Ayin yafu, you should know he's just being generous. V'loy gamrin minay, and we can't learn from there. It's not an established minig. Actually, the minig is the other way around, that he doesn't get any of the hay. Amar of Yosef. Furthermore, says of Yosef, which what elements of the tools and the protection, all that, what is on the owner's shoulders? What does he have to provide? And what does the sharecropper have to provide? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Bukhra. So the first layer of the soil, they used to make like a mound, a protective mound around the fields. That first layer, Vatafsa. And, you know, after the first layer sort of gets banged down, it settles. They have to add another layer, Vakaftan, the third layer. V'kanei d'chizra, and these picket fence, you know, like these posts, the balabais, the owner has to provide for that, because he has to provide basic security for the field. V'chizra gufi, but the sort of, like the barbed wire, the thorns that the sharecropper decides to wrap around those posts, darisa, that's his business, because he's making, you know, work easier for himself, and lessening his security concerns. That's his gain, and he has to provide that. Klal demilsa. So what's the rule? Kol ikur bama, for the critical aspect of security, anything that's required for that, the baal bayis, the owner has to provide. And Terusi said rasa, added security, which pretty much is for the aris. Aris is convenience. The arisa, that's his business. From Rav Yosef, what about providing tools? So basic tools, the owner has to provide. Mara, a shovel, a zavila. That's a like a pitchfork used for winnowing the grain, of a davla, and a pail, of a zarnuka, and some sort of like a tank of some sort of leather pouch to fill up a leather pouch or some sort of tank or water tank. The baal bayis, all that is provided by the owner. Arisa of it, the sharecropper, he makes the small ditches to get the water closer and closer to the field. So pretty much it's for his convenience. So he has a less easier time transporting the water. That's his job. Just as they split the wine, this is in a case of a vineyard, they split the twigs and the poles. What do you have poles? I'm speaking about smooth poles. Used to support the vines. They both provide the sticks. Well, Lomeli, why does the Mishnah have to mention this? It's pretty obvious once we say that the Aris gets a part of the poles, apparently because he provided. Right? You're right. Ma tam kama, the Mishnah is simply providing a reason. Ma tam, why in fact do we say shneim chalkim b'kanim? They both have an equal share in the kanim. Mishum, the shneim is sapkin as a kanim, because initially they both provided those poles and those sticks, and therefore they both have a right to take them at the end of the season. Okay, let's recap today's daf. So he leased it for 10 years. He claims he already was there for 5. He's Neman, according to Rav Nachman, because he's a muchzuk on the kark. We discussed different types of loans, long-term loans. We discussed a rental which collapsed, which has to be rebuilt in the same dimensions as the original one. We discussed the Mekabos HaMechaber, which primarily works based on Minag HaMedina. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rav.